What number is it? I think it was page number Kuf Peites. Is there such a page?
Yes. We should have that.
So yesterday, just to summarize,
we should bait him in color.
Yes, we came to the following conclusion that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, based on the Rashba, that the status of a beitza is that of, we call it parva, at least it's not fleshix, once it's produced both the chel mon and the chel bon. That makes it into a beitza gemura, and if we find such an egg, even though it's still a little bit ma'ura begidin, it hasn't yet exited the body of the chicken, the mother chicken, nevertheless, we're allowed to cook it with milk. And then on the next page, which is Kuf Tzadi, we ask the question from the Ramah in a case of a nevela. You shechted an animal and you found it to be a nevela.
Yeah.
Now the question is, what's the status of the beitza? So there are two cases. One is nevela, and that is, we want to know whether the egg is considered basar, and if it's considered basar, then it has the same status as its mother, which means it's a nevela. It's not a separate entity. And then we have a case where a person shechts a tarnagolas, and he finds a beitza inside the tarnagolas. And now the question is whether we need malicha. And the Ramah says that just like in Basar, we need Malicha to get rid of the Dam, so too, with regard to this Beitza Gemura, we need Malicha. Well, it's not that we need Malicha, that's not exactly accurate, but Noagim L'molcha, there's a minog to do Malicha. And we don't understand if it's a Beitza Gemura that has both Chelmon and Chelbon. You just finished telling me, Ramah, that you're allowed to cook it with milk because it's not considered basar. If it's not considered basar, then why does it require malicha? In other words, what I make that mistake when I say why does it require malicha? What I mean to say is, why does the minug require malicha? How could on the one hand you classify it as basar, and then you tell me, well, I'm allowed to cook it with milk? Now, in the case where you find a beitza inside a nevela, they still say that you're not allowed to eat the beitza because it has the status of nevela. Even though it's nimkeres kemosa bashuk, which means it's a beitza gemura. So you open up the body of this nevela and you find an egg inside. And that egg is completely formed. It's totally formed. It's a beitza gemura. Nevertheless, they still say you're not allowed to eat that beitza. And you and I are in amaze because, what do you mean you can't eat the beitza? It's got a din of nevela, it's part of the basar. Beitza is a separate independent entity. Once it's beitza gemura, all right, we even allowed you to cook it with milk. So obviously it's not a shtick basar. Why then do you give it the status of nevela? So Tosis raises this question in Masechta Beitza on Daf Vav Amid Beis. And they give the following answer. Lo hitiru lechol beitza shchuta b'cholav, when they shechted an animal and they found the beitza inside, and it was a beitza gemura, they only allowed you to cook it with milk because they were talking about a beitza that was born to a tarnagolas. In which case, even if you were to consider this beitza as part of the oaf, you would still violate, in the worst case, scenario, a drabana. There's no way that you can violate a doraisa, because we're talking about oaf, and basar oaf b'cholav is drabana. But if, on the other hand, we open up an animal that's an avela, then it wasn't shechted properly, and we find a beitza inside of it, that even though the beitza is a beitza gemura, we still have to be machmir because of the gidim urim bo and considered as nevela because here we're dealing with the doraisa. So again, if you shech the tarnagolas and you find a beitza that has these two elements of chelmon and chelmon, but it's still ma'ura begidin. So in that case, we're going to allow you to cook it with milk, because even in the worst case scenario, if you were to consider this beitza gemura as basar, you would still not be in violation of basar b'chol of doraisa, because we're talking about an oaf. But if on the other hand you have an animal that's an avela and you find this beitza gemura, then we're going to have to be machmir for a doraisa, because if it in event that you come to the conclusion that it has the status of basar, then it's basar nevela, which is the asur midraisa. Mm-hmm. Now we can begin to understand the minog of the Ramban Siman Ayin Hey to do malicha on this complete egg. So on the one hand, you're taking the egg and you're cooking it with milk, means it's not basar. On the other hand, you're doing malicha on it to get rid of the dam, which only applies if it's basar. So how do you reconcile this? He says that when you're talking about malicha, what are we talking about? What's the purpose of malicha? Is it some sort of rabbinic institution?
Not to eat the blood.
This is for Yosef?
Yeah.
Yosef, you want to take this? Okay. So, what?
What is this?
I'm sorry.
Wait, let me see. Maybe I'll figure this out. Oh, he left already. Shucks. Yeah. Maybe he'll be a Femincha, but right now I saw him leave. So we'll have to figure out how to get to. All right, let's go on. Again, Malicha, is it some sort of rabbinic institution? What's the purpose of malicha?
Dami.
To get rid of the dam.
Yeah.
Dam is doraisa. So therefore, if you have this beta she'ena gemura, what I mean to say ena gemura is that on the one hand it has the chelmon and the chelbon, but it's still ma'ura begidin. So the minhag is going to be machmir as far as dam is concerned, which is a doraisa, to get rid of the dam, just in case we consider it as basar, because the egg wasn't laid.
The assumption is that there's blood in the egg?
Yeah.
Is there actually blood
in the egg? Did you say in the egg, or maybe on the egg?
Is it on the egg or in the egg? I mean, the egg has a shell, no? I mean,
so right.
The shell is in...
I guess they open the shell and they do malicha on whatever they find inside.
Oh.
Right.
They open the shell,
right,
and the malicha,
and they do malicha
inside.
Right. Let's read the minhag. He says the following. You know what? Do me a favor if you don't mind. Could you open up? This is Siman Ayin Hey, which is Hilchas Malicha, Sif Aleph. And see if you can find the Ramah that starts with the words Noagim Lamolcha.
Ayin Hey?
Ayin Hey. I'm hoping that this is accurate.
This is the wrong line. Starts in
Pei. Oh, so. Right. Samach Ayin Pei. Ayin comes before Pei. Right. This starts on Pei Zion with Basar B'chol. All right. So, well, let's leave it for the time being. It's not... let's assume that with regard to this egg, you can do Malicha. And we'll figure out the Metzius a little bit later. Just to get the point here, that in two cases... the Ramah is going to be machmir on a beitza gemura shelo nolda, if you follow me, that we found inside the chicken or inside the animal, and consider it as basar. But in the third instance, we're not going to consider it as basar. So what are these three cases? And what's the rule of thumb? When do we consider it as basar? Even though it has both chelmon and chelbon. So here are the three cases. Case number one is an avela. The animal died without shechita. We do an autopsy on the animal, and lo and behold, we find beitzim gemuros. Do we consider them as basa, which means that they're also b'taras nevela, or do we consider them as a separate entity? The beitza is, so to speak, a live being unto itself. It's not an avela. That's question number one. Question number two And for that matter, question number three, he shechted, and after shechita, he finds the egg. And now we have to ask two questions. Number one, does that egg have a status of basar and it requires malicha? And question number two is that egg considered basar and we're not allowed to cook it with milk? So it goes like this. In the case of the velo, we're going to be machmir, and we're going to assume that even though this beitzah is a beitzah gemura, we're going to consider it as if it was nevela, meaning as if it was basar. In the case of malicha, we're going to consider this egg as if it was basar. Mm-hmm. Right? Did I get both cases? Number one, nevela. Number two, malicha. Okay, good.
And now we get to... And isurim cholov.
Oh, and now we're getting to the third case. The third case is, are we allowed to take this egg and cook it with milk? So why is it that the Rama is mekil in the case of cooking it with milk, whereas he's machmir in both cases of shechita, or the animal dropped dead without shechita, that's called nevela, and there he's going to say we consider it as basar. And the answer is the following. That if you're dealing with a chicken laying an egg, and you want to know if you could cook this egg with milk eggs, in the worst case scenario, you violate what kind of an isur? An isur d'rabbana. Because we're holding that basar of b'cholov is d'rabbana. But in the other two cases, number one, where he shechts the animal, and the question is, does he have to do malicha on the beitza, considering it as basar? So there we're dealing with dam, and dam is an isur d'oraisa. And by the same token, if the animal drops dead without shechita, and your issue is whether the isur nevela encompasses the beitza as well, the answer is, here we're dealing with the isur dam, in the case of malicha, which is an isur doraisa. So again, in the case where the animal dies without shechita, we want to know the status of this egg as far as being basar for nevela, for isur nevela. If the animal was shechted, and now we want to know if this beitza requires malicha. So again, once again, just like in the case of nevela, we were machmir and we considered it as basar. So too, as far as malicha to remove the dam, we're going to consider it as basar. Because in these two cases, we're dealing with a doraisa. If you're dealing with an isur nevela as it applies to beitza, that's a doraisa. If you're dealing with an isur dam that applies to this beitza, that's also a doraisa. But in the case when you want to ask if a chicken laid an egg, and we're not sure whether it's a beitza gemura or not a beitza gemura, and you want to cook it with milk, that's already in the maximum catastrophe and only a violation of a drabbah. That's what we did yesterday. I'm sorry it took me 15 minutes to review what we did yesterday, but that's where we go. Now we're up to Kuf Tzadi Aleph, which is what we want to look at today. Tosfos now in the Masechet Beitza to try to justify why we're machmir in a beitza gemura that we find inside a nevela, according to Beis Hillel, we consider it as nevela, and how is that different from considering it as cholov, meaning non-basar, in the case of basar v'cholov? Tosfos now offers another suggestion, that nevela and trefa should be equated. What does this mean? In the case of a trefa, everybody agrees, that's not an issue at all, that this egg grew as part of the trefa. What do I mean? There's a fundamental difference between nevela, where the animal drops dead. Up until the death of the animal, all the development of the egg was beheter. You know, it's had this animal been shechted properly, then the beitza would have been, the whole nevela would have been, I shouldn't call it the whole nevela, but the whole animal would have been mutter. And there's no problem with the egg as well, as far as the veil is concerned. It's only because the animal died, that's where we wonder whether or not the beitza has the status of the veil. But in the case of a trefa, the entire physical body of the animal is usur, including everything inside of it, even the beitza that's developing. So while the beitza is developing in its embryonic stage, it's basar, and it has the same status as the mother, and it's treif. Not so in the case of the vela, where the problem only exists after the animal dies, but all the development of this egg, which we find inside the carcass of the animal, was done beheter. Here, there's no reason to impose an iser nevela on the beitza. Why? Because the beitza is not basa. It's a separate entity. It's already got chelmon and chelba. Says Tosis, you know why we're going to asa the egg? Because people make it confused. They're not clear. They're not astute enough to understand the difference halachically between a trefa and a nevela. The law of a beitza trefa is hayotze min asur asur. That's a doraisa halacha. So the beitza trefa is asura midoraisa. Now we're afraid of a confusion with nevela. Why? Because in both cases of trefa and nevela, what is the chisaron? What generates the isur? You follow what I'm asking? What's the lowest common denominator between the isur trefa and the isur nevela? In both cases, you don't have what? Nobody's following me? You feel you're not following me? Again, you have trefa and you have nevela. In both cases, you're missing X. What's that X? Shechita. You're not following me? Because he can't shech the trefa. Shechita of a trefa is not a shechita. In fact, the Gemara says in Ksuvus in the third parak that if you shecht a trefa on Shabbos, then that's not considered a shechita for which you'd be chayav, because it's a shechita shein aruya. So again, there's no such thing as a valid shechita in the case of a trefa. In the case of the veil, there was no shechita. The animal died without shechita. So there's a great similarity, a commonality between trefa and the veil. So in the case of Beitzas trefa, I couldn't care less at what stage the beitz is. You'll tell me it's gemura, gemura. Even after the trefa lays the egg, it wouldn't make any difference. Why? Because yotzi ben asur asur. The animal developed this, the animal that's a trefa developed within it the beitza. So the beitza has the same status as the trefa itself.
Yet if a trefa laid eggs, we would not know that it was a trefa yet, and we would have the eggs and they would be mutter.
Okay, that's a good point. But let's say in the case where you know that this is the baits of a trefa, you cut open the animal,
yes,
after you do a post-mortem,
you know it's a trefa,
and you find
the
trefa. So we know, and you find a baits. So that baits, alpidinda oraisa, has the status of a baits trefa. It grew as a trefa.
Yeah.
Technically, that has no bearing at all. It's totally irrelevant to nevela, where I open up the animal after it dropped dead without shechita and I find the beitz inside. That's a whole different story. That beitz itself is a beitz muteres, unless we consider it as basar. But Tosis is suggesting that the reason why the chachamim would be machmir in the case of beitzas nevela is based on a gzera, which is called nevela atu trefa. That since this beitza, had it been the beitza of a trefa, would be asur d'oraisa, we're not going to take any chances and say, well, this beitza is a beitza of a nevela. Because in the minds of people, we often make that equation, that analogy between nevela and trefa. They're both very similar isurim and are both generated by the lack of shechita. He says the following: the svir le'litosis shegazru chacham al beitzas nevela midin yotze min ha'asur. Now it's just like in the case of trefa, what you have in this beitza is something that was produced, was manufactured by isur, right, by trefa, and therefore it retains that status of asur, of being asur b'toras trefa. Now, in the case of the nevela, the chacham are going to worry about a beitzas nevela as if it were a yotze min ha'asr. Again, it's not a yotze min ha'asr because the beitza was developed inside a healthy animal. The animal was absolutely healthy. Just that at some moment, somebody shot the arrow in the head, and the animal dropped dead. But the beitza per se is a beitza muteres. There's no reason to prohibit the beitza, and it doesn't have a din of basa because it's after chelmon. And chelmo, but hol v'nimtzeis, since we found the beitza, we discovered it inside the body of this nevela. We did a postmortem and anatomical, when you cut the ass after death, autopsy, right? As a result of this autopsy, that's called nimtzeis. Then we're going to consider it as something that could be confused with another type of autopsy on a trefa. And then the beitza that we find after the autopsy on a trefa is asura midoraisa midin yotze min asa. We're going to superimpose the din of yotze min asa on the beitza of nevela, even though according to Torah law, it's not a yotze min asa at all. Okay, ubetiritz kama, Tosa's first answer was that in the case of Nevela, we were machmir because of a daraisa. Svirle la toshel orchivu din yotzim and osu lichlol af mashenimsu betoch ha'isu. Ah. In other words, yotzim and osu means that the yotze was produced by the isur. It doesn't mean that we found the yotze inside the isur. So in this case, in the vela, what you do is it's yotze min anavela, meaning we discovered it inside the nevela. That's not to be confused with a case of yotze min asur asur. Do you follow?
Yotze min asur asur is trefa.
Correct. And there, it's the Isa that produced this object, which is called Yotze.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the case of the Vela.
No.
Because the Vela is not Yotze min Asur. No. You know, Adarav, it's Yotze min Aheter.
It's fine.
So it comes out, Rabotzai, that we have two dinim of Nimtzes, meaning the two categories of finding an egg inside after an autopsy, finding an egg inside the body of an animal. One is called yotze, and the other is called nimtzes. What do I mean? Yotze means that the object, in this case, the egg that you found inside the mother, was produced. It was manufactured by us, by Isur. That's not the case of nimtzes. Nimtzes is a case where you happen to find an egg which has an independent status of its own after this autopsy. You found it inside the animal's body. And here, why should we be machmir and call it nevela? The only thing is, we might say, well, it's not really a beitza gemura. And if there's a chashash d'oraisa, we're going to consider it as basa. The other way of saying it is that, no, we're going to bridge the gap between yotze and nimtzes. And we're going to say that if a person would be makil in the case of nimtzes, then he would be makil in the case of yotze. Just 1 second, something's bothering my mind here. But if he shechted the animal, then we don't apply the principle of nimtzes. Wait just 1 second. Why not? This would be going too far. I'm just asking a klutz kashi here. Why, if Tosis is establishing, according to one answer, that there's a new category called nimtzes, that you find the egg post-mortem, why don't we apply that to the case of Basa Mechalef, right? What was the case? He shechted an animal. one second. So Nimtzei, right. I'm just saying, what I'm telling you is just poshut. Nimtzeis means Nimtzeis inside something that's awesome. If you shechted the animal, that's not called Nimtzeis. So in the case of Nevela, Nimtzeis, we're going to be machmir and consider it like Nevela, like Bosa Nevela. And there are two ways of understanding that. Either because the Beitza is not completely Gemura, like Silma Ura Begidin, and we have a Chashash of a Doraisi of Nevela, we have to be machmir for Nevela. That's halacha not in Xeros, but halacha in Sfekos. Or the other way of understanding it is that Nimtzeis, in the case of Nevela, falls under Xera. And that is Otu Trefa, because in the case of Trefa, Nimtzeis would be Asur. It's not really called Nimtzeis, that's not the technical term. Call it Yotzei. But we're going to have a Xera of Nimtzeis Otu Yotzei. But that's only because we find it, you know, after this postmortem, in a state of Isur. That's what I think he's saying. Okay, now we have another Tosus in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and this appears in Masechta Eruvin. I'm not sure what daf right now, but we'll figure that out. And Rabbeinu Tam wants to say that in the case of a beitza, right, again, whenever I say beitza, I mean two things. Number one, that we discovered it inside the animal with the postmortem. And number two, what I mean, it has both chelmon and chelbon, but it's still ma'ura begidu. That's what I mean by beitza in this context. And we're going to be matir taking that beitza after shchita, I'm talking about a shchita kshera, and cooking it with milk. Says Rabbeinu Tam, that's a separate kula in Basa B'chol. Meaning, our whole question was from Nevela or from Malicha, which is an Isodam. That question is totally invalid because Basa B'chol is in a category of its own, not to be equated with other Isurim.
And that's because it's only Durabanan.
And that's because of another reason. It has nothing to do with Of Derabbanan. It has to do with what's called Chidush Shechidsha Torah. And that's the next sugya that we want to get to next week on Daf Kuf Ches. That each one of the two elements in Bas B'chalv is Heter unto itself.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't understand what you said. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I didn't understand what you said.
Chidush Shechidsha Torah.
Oh, Chidush Shechidsha Torah.
Torah. That you take heter and het, and all of a sudden you mix it together, you cook it together, it becomes Easter. Like it's a magical, you know, rabbit out of a hat. But that puts Bas B'chol into its own category. And the regulations that apply to Bas B'chol are different than those that apply to Trefo, Nevela, or Dam, or any other Easter. So don't ask me questions, says Tosfos, from other Isurim. Because Bas B'chalav is in a category of its own. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have Bas B'chalav sitting on your table. You have a... what's the name of that company? I forgot already. Anyway, you have a cheeseburger. McDonald's. Oh, now I remember. Because I used to pass McDonald's every Shabbos on my way to Hir Shir on Shabbos morning in Queens for 2 years. Anyway, so McDonald's, you have a McDonald's cheeseburger on your table. Do you have to destroy it? But let's say you have chametz on your table on Pesach. You have to destroy it. So Tosa at the beginning of Pesach, they ask what's the difference. The Tosa's answer is it's a kul in Bas B'chol. Why? Because it's chidush shechidsha Torah in Bas B'chol. Zeheter v'zeheter. And therefore we can be makel. So although Tosfos says in other Isur we require bidika and biur, in Bas B'chol we don't require bidika and biur because Zeba b'fnei atzmo, zeba b'fnei atzmo.
But there's no isur of bayira b'ayimatzei in basa b'chala.
Right, but Tosfos is assuming shem yavo liyachlo, that the reason why you got to get rid of chametz is because he might come to eat it, so you don't keep it on your table.
That's exera.
And then Tosfos answers that the ayin for nazir is different, and he goes through all the regular. But in any event, what we really have to get to on daf kuf ches are the laws of tarobas, and we'll see that there may be laws of tarobas which were more makil in basa b'chalav than in other isurim because of this principle of chidush hu shechidush Torah with basa b'chalav. Alright, so that's going to be Rabbeinu Tam. So what do we have now? We open up the chicken, we find an egg inside the chicken, we're allowed to cook it with milk. We open up the egg, the chicken, we find the nevela, we have to throw out the chicken, you know, the not only the chicken, but the egg itself. And the same thing will apply as far as malicha is concerned, but when it comes to a beitza, we're allowed to take that beitza and cook it with milk. Why? Says Rabbeinu Tam, because we're not going to be machmir in beitza's nevela. I'm sorry. We're not going to be machmir in a beitza of a ksheira, only in the case of beitza's nevela. Why? Because basa b'chalav is zeheter b'fnei atzmo v'zeheter b'fnei atzmo. Again, if you open up an animal, you dissect it, you find a beitza, that animal is an avela, then you're not allowed to eat the egg. Why? Because the vela is a classic isur. You know what I mean? It's a chetzad isura. There are no two elements here of heta that produced it. But you open up with a post-mortem and you find an egg, and now you want to cook it with milk, that you're allowed to do. Why? What do you say?
After shechita.
I meant to say after shechita. Right, yeah. You open up the chicken after shechita. Now you're allowed to eat the egg with basar. Why? Why aren't we afraid maybe it's... I'm sorry, you're allowed to eat the egg with chalav. Why aren't we afraid that maybe it's basar? After all, it hasn't been laid. And the answer is because this reflects the unique regulations that operate in basa b'chalav. Kol chad v'chad v'api nafshei mutar. So the Rav wants to say a vart here. He says the following: V'nira levar desfile Rabbeinu Tam the after beitz hashkuta dina kibasar. I'm going to skip the next five words, which is the bomb. Is ein lahachmir ba mishum basa b'chalav. So Rabbeinu Tam is going to identify this beitza as basar, even though it's a beitza gemura with chelmon and chelmon, but it's still ma'ur begiven. It's basar. And if the animal had died without shechita, then it has the status of nevela, this beitza, right? Yeah. And if you want to know whether or not you have to get rid of the dam because of and malicha, the answer is it's considered basar, and therefore the dam is asar. No, so how are you going to take this basar and cook it with chalav? So I said to you that that's a kula because it's not really basar. The Rav says, no, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it is basar. Because it hasn't been laid. But you can cook it with milk. Why? The Rabbeinu Tam is operating with a whole new principle. And that is that since the beitza has already completed itself in its development, it's got chelmon and chelmon, it loses the tam of basar. It doesn't taste like a chicken. When was the last time, Rabosa, you ate an egg and it tasted like a chicken?
When you open, oh. When you get those little eggies.
I didn't think he would raise his hand. You know.
You get the eggies. The eggs that are in the chicken that have no shell yet.
Right.
Those,
but let's say the eggs
basar
that you buy in the shuk, they don't have a taste of basar, even though they were produced by basar. So the egg is considered a separate entity, and now in basav chalav, we're going to allow you to cook it with chalav because there will be no exchange of tam, and that's the unique nature of an egg. You see, I would have accepted the rav on a doraisa level, but I'm very scared. It seems a little bit too revolutionary for me to accept this on a drabbanan level. Then now you're going to take something which al pidin is basar, and you're going to allow cooking it with milk because it doesn't have a tam basar. In other words, the Rav is expanding out the definition of basar as far as basar b'chalav is concerned. In kol ha'tara kula, as far as nevela, as far as dam is concerned, a beitza is considered basar. But when you ask what's considered basar and basar b'chalav, we have another condition that we have to add into the equation. It's got to be a basar that has a tam basar. So I don't know, Rav Osai. I'm trying to figure out in my mind, could we come up with another case? You know, I don't think the Rav would say such a thing, but you know, they have now synthetic meat. Mm-hmm. We now have the technology that we can produce meat. And again, don't quote me on this because you'll Google it, but I think I could give you a piece of that meat. You would have no clue that that's not meat. It tastes exactly like meat. And by the way, this is the way we're going to save billions of people on the face of the earth as soon as we get to that level of technology, you know, artificial food. Again, the real challenge is not creating, reproducing the taste of meat, but reproducing the enzymes and whatever it takes to, you know, to give blood to the body and keep, what do you say?
Nourishment.
And I don't think we're far from it. I mean, you can say, you know, remember Biafra, you know, we're going to save all these people who are on the verge of, again, that's only going to become a reality when we have both the technology and it becomes inexpensive. So what would Rav Soloveitchik say? I manufactured synthetic basar. If I fed it to you, you would swear in a stack of bottles it was basar. Are you allowed to cook that with milk?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right and I'm wrong, but listen to what I want to say. I want to suggest that you're not allowed to cook it with milk. Why? Because the Rav says that the definition of basar in basar b'chalav, and only in basar b'chalav, not for nevela, not for treifa, not for any other isur, is tam basar. So you can have something that's not basar, but it's considered basar as far as basar b'chalav is concerned because it has a tam basar. Or does it only go in one direction? If you want to go in this direction, you already have basar as far as kol ha'tara kula is concerned. You have the real general basar, and now you want to know whether it has tam or not tam. Lu yitzu, you came up with something that's basar but doesn't have tam basar. It's not included in basar b'chalav. But on the other hand, if you have something that's not basar but has a tam basar, that's not enough to constitute a violation of this. So for this, we really have to know a basic sugya, which is called tam ki ikar. Mm-hmm. Right, so let's say, for example, if I were to cook vegetables together with meat, and now the vegetables get a tam basar, would I be allowed to cook that vegetable with a piece of cheese? Because it's not basar, it's a vegetable, but it has a tam basar to it.
But that's because it came from meat.
Yeah,
it was together with meat.
You started with basar.
Something that has a tam basar that isn't meat. I mean, I think that the when they said tam ki ikar, they weren't.
But wait a second, Yosef, I don't understand. I have a cash on you. One, because you yourself told me that this egg initially had a tam basar, and it was basar, right? In its early stages.
Right.
It's a little teeny egg, right?
Yeah.
So now the tam basar left, right? Because it matured the egg and now it doesn't have tam basar. What would be in this case if you want to cook it with milk? So you're saying, well, it started basar, but now it loses its status as basar because it changed its tam.
That's a pella.
Isn't that a pella?
That's a pella.
And this is the Rav's Pshat and Rabbeinu Tam. He says, Shari Shonim Cholkim is someone should call Shtekoshu basar, memele gam tamo nidol kitam basar. You know what tam basar is? There is no such thing as tam basar, meaning tam basar is a chameleon. It'll change from one object to the other. If you have basar that has a different taste than other basar, then that also becomes basar. So for example, if somebody says that gidi includes of, that basar of is doraisa, has a totally different taste than basar behema, but who cares? What difference does it make? It has its own tam basar, and that tam basar is the tam of oaf. The same thing is going to apply in the case of a beitza. The beitza is basar, and we see it because it's got a din of the vela, it has a din of treifa. And now you're telling me it has a different tam once it's a beitza gemura. The answer is that that is a tam basar. Why? Because basar equals tam basar. There's no objective, definite tam basar. Let's just see. We only have a few minutes left. Let's see how this is codified by the Shulchan Aruch. So we're in Siman Pei Zayin, which is the first Siman in Basar Mechol. The beitza nimtzeis b'mei of shchuta. So if it has both a chelmon and a chelbon, you could cook it with milk. Yeah. But ein lo el chelmon, it doesn't have that extra stage of chelbon, so it's not a beitza gemur yet. Also li ochla im nisbashla b'cholav. Avol im ochla b'fnei atzma mutal lechol achreha gvina o chalav. Wow. This is wild. What the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that if it has chelmon, it's already way advanced on its way to be considered ois basar. It's no longer basar.
Yeah.
It's not all the way, because we still didn't get to the point of chelbon, but it's on the way. It's in this, you know, twilight zone.
In between.
So what dinim apply to the twilight zone? Two dinim. On the one hand, you're not allowed to eat it together with milk, but on the other hand, you're allowed to eat it separate from milk. You follow what I mean? You know, the zigzera of waiting l'sudach rita doesn't apply here. So for example, if you ate this beitza, which had chelmon without chelbon, now you want to eat cheese, how long do you have to wait to eat cheese? Yeah. Zippo.
Isn't it interesting that Shulchan Aruch skipped over the bishul part? He didn't say whether it's mutal
right, he said it was bashla b'chol.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But so it sounds like it's
right.
Mutal b'chol.
So wait a minute, maybe that... what sif are we up to? Sif A, just one second.
The Mispashal Bechola would be Yisr by itself.
So he says in Elo, this is the lesson of Shulchan Aruch. You'll open up and you'll see. In Elo El Chelbon, also Levashla Bechola.
He does say
that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That, if you have the previous page, you'll see it quoted there, but you could look it up in the original.
So what's the hard meaning to think you it's be also Levashla Bechola? Why would you have to tell us it's also Levashla if it's also Levashla?
Also Levashla.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, because again, he holds that once it has chelmon, it's well on the way to being, I don't know what you call powerful, whatever you call it, to being a beitza gemura. So therefore could be that maybe what we're going to say is the following. You're not allowed to be mavashalit with cholav, but if you went ahead and you did so, we're not going to ask him the tarovis, you know, after the bishul. So he says not only is bishul also, but even la'achlo in this bashal of cholav is also. But if you want to now eat this egg separately without bishul, and now you want to eat gvina, that you're allowed to do. Okay, so Blinetta will pick this up. The Shach has a comment on this. We'll pick that up next week.
Shabbos.
All right, have a great Shabbos. Good. Now let's see if Dr. Plotsky is there. He gave me something to give to Dr. Plotsky, but I don't see the man.